everyone, and thanks for joining me this next hour. You are listening to Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks on Transcendental Tuesdays here on 12radio.com and simulcasting on YouTube on a channel of the same name, Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks. So thank you so much for joining us today, whether you're listening to this live or you're catching it a little bit later. But if you're live, this is August 12th, 2025. And I have a guest on the show today, the amazing Mo Abdelbaki, who is a Vedic astrologer, a tarot master, and a Renaissance man, because this is a guy who knows a lot about a lot of different topics. So we go in many directions, I'd say mostly metaphysical or spiritual or astrological on this particular show, but we go in a lot of different directions wherever the energy takes us. Just looking at the week ahead, the month ahead, and whatever's going on for us at this moment. And I always assume that that's a good thing because, you know, sometimes I will be doing a reading or I'm looking at something for myself and I think, oh, I just have to share this with the listeners or write about this. And then I go, hey, wait a minute, maybe this is just you. And I go, no, you know what? We're part of a collective. And so often, whatever is going on for us is also something that somebody else is going to resonate with. So thank you for just, you know, following your own intuition and joining us today. And hopefully you will hear something that really is significant or profound for you. So thanks for coming and listening to Mo and I. And many of you, by the way, you know Mo. He is an advisor on 12listen.com. He also teaches classes on 12 Academy. And of course, he's had his own show for, I don't know, 14, 15 years on 12radio.com, and is now broadcasting live on YouTube. And I think he also has his own YouTube channel that actually he posts other things and has been doing that for some time. He's the author of multiple tarot decks and oracle cards. So this is a person who has been around as a teacher and a mentor for a very long time. And I so appreciate that he gives us his time and that we can kind of collaborate, you know, once a month on Tuesdays on this show. So before we get started, I want to encourage everybody, make sure that you are subscribed to Mark's Power Peak, which is an online newsletter that comes out every Saturday night. You can get it for free. And if you haven't gotten it already, you can go to 12listen.com. That's the number 12, and just hit the link that says Mark's Power Peak. And I encourage you to do that because many of the things that we talk about on this show, the specifics about what's going on this particular week in astrology, all the details are going to be there in my particular, I have the week ahead column, but Mo has a column and many people have articles that they're writing about, many things that you might be interested in as well. So I encourage you to do that. And if you joined us late today or you just want to hear the show again, you can always find it on YouTube under the live tab on this channel, or you can go to 12radio.com, go to the archives, which are available on the on-demand tab. So as we get started today, the cosmic dance is what I like to call it for the week of August 11th. And I just want to talk about a couple of things before Mo and I start discussing. One of the important things, Mercury went direct yesterday. That was July 17th. It went retrograde on July 17th, but now it's finished with that 3-week retrograde. And I think that's important for a variety of reasons. But you know, Mercury goes retrograde about 3 times a year. And when it does, it's for 3 weeks at a time. Now, a lot of people, they just bemoan that. They don't like it. I kind of like it because I think it's like a parent-teacher conference or it's the opportunity to kind of take another look at something. You know, it's a planning period. It's the opportunity to just kind of slow down and look at stuff. But this, I think, could have been a little more extraordinary. Maybe you shouldn't say a little more, but it could have been very important to some of us or will continue to be. And the reason is because it was in Leo, which is a willful fire sign. But the main reason is because Leo so resonates with our sense of self, our ego, our need to feel creative and confident, and our feelings about being authentic personalities. and to be able to express our true selves. So I think a lot of what was going on over the last few weeks, it was personal. It wasn't just maybe about the world at large or, you know, finding a hidden object. You know, I almost always find something that's lost on a Mercury retrograde, which is why I like it, you know, because all of a sudden I'll remember where I put something or I seem to stumble across it. But I think in Leo, this was a very personal kind of retrograde. And so I think it's given us a lot of opportunities to look at something in ourselves, or to look at something that we just wanted to strengthen, something that we really wanted to express that we had not been able to, you know, kind of just like rearrange ourselves, you know, just do a kind of a little overhaul, not, you know, completely of our personalities, but I think just find some things out. So over the next 12 days, Mercury's going forward again. It is going direct. It's still in Leo, and it's going to take until August 22nd until it gets back to the place where it started the retrograde. We call that the shadow. And what I see it as an assimilation period. This is the opportunity maybe to look at some of the things that came up in the last few weeks and to figure out what we want to do with them. And so I really encourage you not to skip over this part, because this is really fertile territory for seeing ourselves and our passions, and there again, our authenticity. Some of the things that we want to see about ourselves or change about ourselves, this is the opportunity to kind of look at those and say, yep, what do we want to do with them? Do I want to make some changes? Is there anything, you know, that I saw that is really going to change the way I move forward? And I would also say this isn't an encouragement to just sit down or like hide yourself away and just go, okay, I got to write all this down. I can't forget this stuff. I just, you know, in other words, don't be obsessive about it. You don't need to be. The truth is, whatever you need to know, it's just going to come to you. And so that's it. Relax. Is there something that has come to you? Has there been a message? Has there been something you found or saw or somebody you reconnected with? Just whatever's in front of your face right now. So don't obsess about it, but just pay attention. Just stay awake. Now, there's another interesting feature that's going on this week, but I think it also is very nicely kind of coordinated with the Mercury moving forward again. And that is that Mercury and Mars are going to be in a very harmonious connection. But what's interesting is they're going to do it twice within a couple of days. They're going to be in perfect harmony on Thursday the 14th and again on Sunday the 17th of August. And truthfully, I'm looking at my astrological calendar and then I'm pulling out a chart and I'm going, wait a minute. They should be sextile just one time. And then the two of them should start moving away from each other simply because they're going at different speeds. So, I mean, this was one of those things, I mean, truly, it kind of befuddled me. I thought, okay, this has got to be a mistake in the book, on the calendar, but it wasn't a mistake when I looked at the chart. And what I realized is it really is a function of the speed of the two planets. Now, Mercury had been going retrograde, metaphorically. So the truth is, it's not up to speed. It's moving really slowly. You know, when you are in a car and you go from forward to reverse, you have to hit the stop position, right? The still position before you can build up speed going the other direction. But in any case, they're going to come together twice. And in truth, they're going to be together, kind of dancing together for the next week. And that's important because Mars is energy, it's action. So what are we taking action on? We're taking action on our communications. So once again, maybe there's something to be taken care of here, maybe to clear up a disagreement, or maybe make amends or restore balance or justice or renegotiate something in personal or business situations. And I say that because Mars is in the sign of Libra. And Libra is an air sign that is about communication, but it's also about coming together. It's about diplomacy. It's about facilitation. you know, partnership coming together, integrating, merging forces together. And so as Mars is activating or having this influence on Mercury in Leo, maybe it is a way. I mean, that's what I'm seeing. Maybe as we really got into that Leo energy saying, I want this and I want that, and I'm not getting to say what I want, or I'm not being so, you know, self-expressive. But that's combined with Libra, which says, how do I meld that into my relationships? How do I form a better union? And so if you're in a situation, or maybe you're not, but maybe you'll notice it this week, where you have the opportunity to somehow improve a relationship, improve a communication, you know, really renegotiate, like I said, an agreement of some kind, this is the time to do it. I mean, I think this is a really fortuitous time. Other than, I'm going to say Sunday, and specifically maybe Sunday night. But Sunday, I don't know why, I'm just getting the feeling that's not the best day. So if you're choosing a day to have a conversation with somebody, I would not choose Sunday unless you feel in, you know, your intuition says, yep, that's the day, and that's the day it's got to be, because I'm not feeling real good about Sunday. But otherwise, this is a great week, I think, for communications, and specifically for building bridges, or maybe repaving some bridges. So that's all I have to say. And now I'd like to get Mo on the show. So welcome, Mo. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
So what's going on in your world?
Well, I don't know.
Are you building bridges? Making amends or any of that kind of stuff?
Oh gosh, I don't know about making amends. I'm kind of excited. I'm also going to be streaming to YouTube I did it last week, and I did it without visuals. But this tomorrow, I'm going to be breaking the laws of nature and actually allowing people to see me while I do my radio show. So this could be, you know, a real problem. We'll see what happens.
Oh, no. So, hey, remind the audience where they can find you on YouTube. What's your channel's name?
It's called Mo Abdelbaki. So just Mo, M-O, and Abdelbaki the usual way. So,
uh-huh. I'm kidding. Well, that's great. And then what time will you be live streaming tomorrow?
I'll be live streaming 3 p.m. Pacific. So,
okay.
And it'll also be on 1-2 Radio, as usual. Uh-huh. And they can actually see my mug, which is I don't know why I'm subjecting the world to this, but
hey, it's Leo, it's self-expression, you know, it's Mercury and Leo, don't you think?
Yeah, I'd like to thank Serena. She gave me some real help with and courage, you know, and mm-hmm. of course bourbon helped a lot too, but no, I don't drink, but it's going to be, I think, a fun show. It's going to be about inner vision, the ability to see in the mind's eye, which is, I think, a really important part of our work, what we do.
Absolutely.
You know, and so I've got some tips and some exercises, and which is the only type of exercise I do, you know. I think it's the only sane type of exercise, but that's me. Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. I was pulling some weeds one day, and I was just bent over pulling, you know, which is a terrible thing to do, bending over. But I was bent over, and there was a very stubborn milk thistle. You know how they are. And I said, well, that's good enough. I've done enough strenuous labor. And quite suddenly, for no reason at all, I just fell face first over. Oh. And there was no reason for it. It was just suddenly I fell right into some rocks. And I thought, oh, this is not nice at all. And I thought, oh, this is just being old, you know. So I just have to get used to it. That's all.
Well, you know what? I'm not going to deny that age could have something to do with it, but it's funny you mentioned it, because I think it's kind of a natural phenomena when we put our focus, we put our focus on something and we're leaning into it. And of course our heads, you know, they're heavy, right? And so then we just go that way. And the reason I think it's funny, though, that you brought it up is because I've actually been thinking about this phenomenon myself this week, because I also had a situation. I didn't fall, but I was looking at something and I just kept trying to get closer and closer and closer. And all of a sudden, my whole focus was on this thing on the ground, trying to figure out what it was. And I almost fell face, forward. But yeah. The other thing is, my dog gets so excited, and I have a pool in my backyard, and plus my brother has a pool, and we had some company, some family come into town. So one day they were at my house, and they're kids, and I don't know what it is. Maybe all dogs are this way, but I know my dog loves me, and I know he's very happy. But boy, when kids come over, I don't even exist.
Right.
And so this is a little, he's 24 pounds. And he does not like to jump in the swimming pool, even though he has a couple of times. But for the most part, he doesn't want to get in there. But the kids are there, and he, they're screaming and yelling, and so is he. He is just circling the pool, and he's just so excited. Well, he kept going over and totally, getting his head way below the rest of his body as he's, trying to get their attention in the pool. And I'm kind of yelling at him, going, get away from the pool. Stop doing that. Well, sure enough, at one point, he's so excited and he's leaning over and he goes face first, head first right into the water. Now, it has happened before. And he knows it. I mean, in fact, sometimes I say, I think he did that on purpose. He knows exactly what's going to happen, but it's the same phenomena. He's so excited. He just keeps looking at them in the pool and he can't take his gaze away. Now, it's happened enough that, he's fine. He comes right back to the surface and he swims over to the steps. Unfortunately, he has a really hard time getting out of the pool, which is why I think he doesn't like to get in it in the first place. But it's funny because he just went right in. And then the next day at my brother's house, it's pretty much the same thing. He just leans over until he can't control his body weight anymore. And it's and here I am. I remember the first few times it happened, I'm screaming, but this time I'm like, okay, he's in the pool,
Must have been this massive noggin of mine, I guess.
So I'm just saying it's funny to mention it because, and there again, I'm kind of thinking, what is that? And I was thinking of it more from a metaphysical thing that we get so focused, like people say, going down the rabbit hole.
This vertigo thing too,
True.
So that might have had some, but I was very calm. I just laid there face first in this stuff, and I got, scraped up, and I was bleeding and that sort of thing, but I didn't panic. I just said, well, doggone it. That was quite unfortunate. And I thought, now I have to get up. And when you get to be a certain age, getting up is a lot worse than falling, And there were spiders, scurrying away, and I would scurry away too. And I did it. I got up. It took me a little while to figure out the strategy, but I was extremely happy with myself. Extremely happy with myself. It was a victory, a triumph, as it were. Got a couple of scars now that I'm quite proud of that I'll show off. I may get tattoos around them just to show people. So they say, what's that? And I can tell them the story,
Yes. That's
old man stuff. So...
Yes.
It's
well,
weird.
But see, once again, trying to take it to a more metaphysical point. Yeah, stuff happens and we pick ourselves up and we learn something from it. And now you've got stories to tell. Every single thing in life can be used as part of our curriculum, if you want to see it that way.
And guess what?
Thing.
My wife doesn't want me picking weeds anymore.
Oh, there's a bonus situation. Good job, Mo.
I haven't had to do laundry in almost 30 years. So I won't tell you the story about that one.
That's funny. Yes. Yeah. So there might have been a little purposefulness in there.
No, not at all. I mean, it's not that I like work. I can watch it all day. But, I just, frankly, I just, it's weird getting old because you just suddenly find that there are things you, maybe it's not that you can't do, but that you shouldn't do anymore. You know, it's just, you know, so you think, okay, I get it. I understand. It's just one of those things.
You know, that really is so true that all of a sudden I notice, and I've done a lot of dancing in my life, especially not so much when I was young, but in my 20s and 30s and 40s, I took a lot of dance classes, you know, ballet and tap and jazz and modern and that kind of stuff. So, you know, I knew which way my body would work or move. And now all of a sudden, sometimes I'll try to do something and I go, okay, we're not going there again. And yet, you know, or I was watching there again, I was watching my niece do all these cartwheels. And I'm like, at what point was it that I thought I can't do that anymore?
Yeah.
You know, because it used to be so natural, just like throw yourself down on the ground and do those cartwheels or push-ups or, you know, whatever they are. And now I just, you know, every once in a while I think, what would happen if I really tried to do that? You know, would I break my wrist?
That has never been I. I once, I'm a Grateful Dead dancer. If you've ever seen them dance, you know, that's called baltering. And a friend once, I was trying to dance, and he said, you look like a drunken bear. And I liked that. I thought, that's pretty good. I'll take that.
Yeah, that's funny.
But, yeah, well, I just, you know, you just move your body. I mean, I was from the, you know, I'm just to be Grateful Dead dancing. If you get on the internet and you put in Grateful Dead dancing, you'll see kind of what that's about. You know,
it's and just, by the way, over in the chat room, Gypsy Sky says, it sucks not being able to dance like I used to.
Yeah. Yeah.
So well, true. Yeah.
Yes. I'm fond of saying I'm as flexible as a sequoia, you know.
So. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and that's it. Sometimes it's just like, I want to say it's stunning. Like, I think, when did I stop being able to do that? When did that happen? You know, how did that happen? You know,
well, I was never very good at any of that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I keep thinking, well, if I were in Egypt, my family, they were of a certain class where they had people who did things for them. So I always think to myself, well, that should have been me here. You know, I should have had people doing things, but we didn't have that. So that's my excuse. The truth is I'm just lazy and not coordinated. So, but my daughter was a dancer. My granddaughter was a dancer and a choreographer and a pom-pom. You know, she was the head of the pom-poms in college. And so I can't use that. But lazy.
Here's something I'd like to pick your brain about, or I'd like to talk about, is next week we have the sun moving into Virgo. And literally, I think like 10 hours later, it's going to happen on Friday the 22nd. And then 10 hours later is when we're going to have the new moon in Virgo. So on the same day that's going to happen. But I thought it might be fun to talk about Virgo and just your impressions of that sign and what that means. I always think that is like a very distinct energy. We come off, you know, what I consider the Beach Boy summer with Leo, and now we're back to school, back to work with Virgo. So I'd just like to hear you kind of extrapolate or talk about Virgo and the energy involved in that.
Well, my best friend who died in February was a Virgo, and he, great guy, but I was raised by a Virgo.
Oh, your mom was a Virgo?
My mom was a Virgo, and we butted heads forever, because I was me, and she was she.
And yet, you're a Taurus. You're a Taurus.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you know, I want to actually, one of the reasons I'm pointing that out is because I had this conversation with a client just yesterday. Because so many people, when they're looking at compatibility, they're always looking at sun signs. And I just told her, I said, sun sign is actually not the thing I look at for compatibility in charts. I mean, it helps. But, you know, you'd think Taurus is an earth sign, totally aligned with Virgo, another earth sign. And yet there are so many in-between things, like how Mercury or Venus or Mars functions, all those other planets in a chart, that a lot of times just because you've got a very compatible sun sign doesn't mean there's a lot of compatibility between people.
See, I've never felt that Virgo and Taurus are that compatible.
Well, they're both earth signs, is all I'm saying. So
Yeah.
If you don't scratch the surface, that's what you get, is elementally they're the same. Or they're earth.
Yeah. But you see, Virgos are very, don't you feel they're active?
Yes. I guess what I feel about Virgo is definitely the mutability, because they're ruled by Mercury, the thinking mind. And so they take that thinking mind and they put it into very practical ways. But I also, the mutability, what I think of Virgo is the one side of them that is totally private. I need my time. I need my space. This isn't about you. I just need to refill the coffers. I need to do my own thing. And then the other part that is totally like, oh yeah, let me go down to the soup kitchen and help everybody. You know, it's a very distinct, two different sides of the personality.
You know, I think of the paradigm. Yeah, well, the paradigm, of course, of in Tarot is the hermit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think of the fact that the hermit was taken, the hermit in Tarot is Saint Anthony. And Saint Anthony was not martyred. He was, he just got disgusted with society and decided to leave. And I think about Virgos a lot with that one, you know, that that they simply say, I'm packing it in and I'm going and I'm going to do my own thing. And I don't know. There's Virgos are fascinating. I've known a lot of Virgos and I have a great respect for them. Like I said, my friend, dear friend was a Virgo. But for instance, he was born on 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And when 9/11 happened, he quit celebrating his birthday, didn't move it, didn't do something else. He quit celebrating it for a decade.
Wow.
Yeah. That's the intensity of that was his intensity, you know. I find them to be incredibly intense. My mom mourned her father's death for the rest of her life.
Mm-hmm.
And he died when she was, you know, she was not old when he died, but she literally mourned it for the rest of her life. Most people kind of get over it. You know what I mean? Not get over it, but there's an intensity to the emotions. And I think that can be part of it. I think the hermit is well chosen for that card, because there is a very strong sense of loneliness to that card. And I think that is part of the Virgo temperament. And I hope I'm not offending Virgos, because I don't like that massive pigeonholing that happens with astrology.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Which is very different than a Taurus. I mean, you know, for me, Taurus is the bull sitting under a tree, you know, chewing its cud. I mean, I feel very comfortable with that. Because that's kind of me. I mean, I would love to just sit under the tree in the afternoon and just listen to the flies buzz and enjoy. You know,
and
that's
yet,
much me.
Yes. And I would agree that that's Taurus. But Taurus also, when you say active, I've known some Taurus who are just so incredibly determined. They're either in business or whatever their job is. And that's it. They're like bulls.
Oh, yes.
You're not going to pull them off of an idea. It's like, no, this is my plan. This is how I'm doing it. This is where I'm going. That real determination, that groundedness that you see.
Oh, that's part of it, though.
In Taurus, too. Yeah.
That's it, too. And, of course, it's ruled by Venus. Mm-hmm. So there's the sensuality, and there's the aesthetics, and there's the artistic endeavors, and there's the amorous part of it. All of that is there as well. But that can also be a stereotype. I've met Tauruses.
Absolutely.
And I think within every astrological paradigm, there is its negation, which is fascinating to me. Absolutely fascinating that you can have someone who is a particular sign who is the complete opposite of that. It's it's like, it's not that they just don't have it. It's like they're the iciness of it. I had a friend in college who was born the exact same day as I, but 12 hours off.
Yes.
And we were night and day. Quite literally, I was born at night, and he was born 12 hours difference than I. Almost to the minute.
And that's pretty amazing,
It was amazing.
That you met and knew each other,
And we met through a guy who was, in fact, he was an astrologer, a part-time, but he was quite fascinating, this guy. And the fellow that I met, I've spoken before of my friend, the Druid, I think. Maybe not, but I have. I had a friend who was a Druid. But I met the Druid through this fellow. He was his mentee. The Druid was his mentor at the time. And it was amazing. It was kismet. It had to happen. It was a wonderful thing. And it was the Druid who introduced me to the works of Aleister Crowley. So it had to happen. It was a wonderful thing. But the guy's name was Clifton, the guy who was born 12 hours. And we couldn't have been more alike, but we could not have also been more different. It was just fascinating because we were both born on the same day, but 12 hours different. And so he was almost entirely opposite me, but I don't know how to explain it. It was truly phenomenal. And we would sit and talk. And do you like this? No. Do you like this? No. But are you like this? I'm absolutely like this. And it was. And he ended up following some super Christian religious metaphysical thing in California, leaving Louisiana completely. And wearing white robes, and it was this, it was just completely the opposite of what I would have done, And it was just so weird how it ended. But yes, I'm sorry, I got off track.
No, that's okay. Well, and I was also thinking, though, about your opposite thing is I'm a Pisces, and quite honestly, I have very, very little water in my chart. I'm mostly fire and air. And I always think the Pisces gets a little bit lost. But what is intriguing is every once in a while, somebody will think I'm a Virgo and they'll say so, which is the opposite of Pisces. And I don't have a single planet in Virgo. Now, of course, I've got Virgo energy because Virgo, every single constellation and sign is in every chart. But I think it's intriguing. And when I see why they think I'm a Virgo, it's perfectly understandable. So it is almost like trying to compensate for the dreamy kind of otherworldly part of Pisces, which is definitely me. Then the way I somehow compensate for that is to become very grounded and analytical and persnickety. And this has got to be perfect. And this has got to be this way. And definitely there's a very analytical part of my personality that I guess if I saw that, I'd have to go, that sounds pretty Virgo. That ability to focus. But maybe that's the way I compensate for the Pisces.
And, it's true because, in Vedic, we have a saying that there is no such thing as an empty house or an empty sign. It just doesn't exist. And also, sun signs are not the important part of a chart.
Right. And that's the other question I wanted to ask you. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, very rarely do we start with a sun sign. We look at the moon first, because that's where our heads are. That's where you think your brain is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that funny? I can't remember my mom's moon. Where I can't remember her chart at all. She's been gone so very long. Wonder, I have to look that up. I don't know even if I have it, the information. Well,
yeah, and you know, and in fact, I have somebody in my family, and I can forever say, oh, Scorpio, she's a Scorpio. And then I go, no, she is not a Scorpio. Because she's not. She's a Sagittarian. But she has three planets in Scorpio. And I see that Scorpio, you know, the Sagittarius. I mean, yeah, I get it. You know, she loves to travel and she's an adventurous person, that kind of thing. But I'll tell you what, even though I had to correct myself a number of times, I just said something recently. Oh, well, you know, she's a Scorpio. And I go, wait, no, she's not. So, you know, and especially in that situation where it's the moon and two other planets. To me, they dominate way over that sun in terms of the way she presents herself to other people. The way she relates to other people is much more Scorpio than it is Sagittarius.
You know, Vedically, I'm a Scorpio too. I'm a Scorpio rising and Scorpio moon.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, those moons are incredibly powerful. In terms of, well, there again, I guess because of relationships, the way we demonstrate our feelings, the way we show ourselves to other people through the moon has a more lasting somehow impression sometimes than the sun.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. And they in the Vedic system, the moon is our mind, where we focus our ideas and our thoughts.
Interesting. The moon in Vedic is how we focus our minds.
Right. It's our thoughts.
Okay. Now, how does that compare to Mercury then in the Vedic system?
Mercury can be intellect, which is very different.
Okay.
Right.
But explain what you see as the difference.
Well, intellect is intelligence, focused mind. The moon is everything else, consciousness. See, to me, intellect is intelligence, abilities in school, applied thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And very different than the mind, very different than consciousness. Mm-hmm. So how far will you go in school? How will you do in school? How will you apply yourself? My Mercury is definitely not connected to my mind. I'll say that. I didn't do great in school till I got into college. Then I did pretty damn well. Yeah, darn well.
No doubt with your Scorpio moon, you are a researcher, you know, in terms of you go deep and you're going to figure it out and you're going to look at the connections. You're never going to look at something superficially.
Right. And I'm one who doesn't trust other people's research.
Mm-hmm.
That's been a problem my whole life, is that I don't believe it unless I see it or experience it myself. Crowley said, experience now, how did he put it? Experience now, prove later, something to that effect, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's always been kind of my motto. Someone will say something and I won't believe it until I've experienced it myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been that way. I mean, but I don't question. It's not like I say, oh, that's not true. I just don't take it as the truth, a complete truth, until I have experienced it myself. So I saw a ghost when I was 6 or 7 years old, saw it and experienced it, heard a ghost, was yelled at by one, and was terrified in a haunted house for months. And so I know ghosts exist.
Uh-huh.
That doesn't necessarily prove to me that there's an afterlife, I'll say that. But I do know that they exist because I experienced it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's all sorts of other things I don't know exist, even though other people avow or aver to it, you know, whatever the case may be, whatever it is. If I've experienced it, I am a believer, but otherwise I need to experience it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, it does.
Yeah, and that's been just about everything. It's not that I will call someone, you know, out on something, but I am very much a skeptic, and that's my Scorpio moon. I know it is, you know, with Mars in Sagittarius. Sagittarius was Chiron. Chiron was the original skeptic, you know. He was a philosopher. He was the teacher of the heroes. He hated hypocrites. You know, centaurs were they hated hypocritical lives. And they didn't weren't that fond of human beings, as a matter of fact, which is why they lived in the hills, you know, kind of away from people. But I've always found that's kind of an interesting, that Mars in Sag business has always kind of really kind of been tough. But anyway, it's not tough. It just, you're always seeking, you're always looking for more. You're trying to figure things out. And you don't always trust what other people say. You'll listen to it, but that puts you on the road for more. And sometimes it puts you on wild goose chases. And that's what Aleister Crowley did. He was a man who, I mean, all he did was put me on wild goose chases for 45 years when I studied his Book of Thoth. You know, I basically studied his tarot deck for 45 years and his magical, you know, reading his books, books, as many as I could get my hands on. And at the end of that time, I said, okay. I didn't say that was a waste of time, but it was this massive ugh, you know. It wasn't a waste of time, but it was now I can do my own thing. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
And I had turned over the rock, and everything had scurried out, and there was a great sense of, okay, enough of that. It was like, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, and you said, nothing is ever wasted.
Yeah, right.
I mean, that's it. You study it. I mean, and it kind of brings me to what I was thinking earlier. You know, I actually did research, medical research, for 30 years.
Right.
But here's the other thing. As a natural
something
personality.
Something came of what you did, CA.
Yes. But
not much came of what I did.
Well, you know what? I don't think that's necessarily true. But I think where I was going to go, but as a person, you're right. When I hear somebody talk about something, certainly I could go to the scientific mind and say, well, what was your sample size? But it happens more often than not. I trust people's experiences, just like your experience, my experience. But where I differ is I may not reach the same conclusion. Yeah. Like if somebody says, oh, here's a message and it came from, you know, a guide by this particular name, I'm not going to argue with them, but I may not agree that that's really where the information came from. But you know what? Right. I've also told people, which in a sense drives some metaphysical people crazy, is I go, I don't care where it came from. Where, see, for some people, it's like, if it didn't come from my dead grandmother, then I don't want it. Or they want it from a specific source. Whereas I'm like, I don't care where it came from. I care whether or not it's true. I care whether or not it's applicable. And I also believe that we do, especially on an intuitive level, we hear things that we need to hear, and it comes to us in a way that we can translate it. So, it's like it comes in a way that we can understand it. And I've said this before, but it kind of goes back to animal communication. I've done a lot of animal communication, and I will say, honestly, that's it. If I'm working with a dog or a cat or something, sometimes I hear complete English sentences. Now, do I believe they actually said that? I'm not going to argue with you about whether or not they said it. I'm not even going to argue about whether or not it came from the animal. But what I know for sure is I got the information I needed. Like this dog has a stomach problem, there's a digestive issue, or this is what's going on. And I believe however the information came, whether it was my intuition, it was a guide, it was an inner guide, you know, my grandmother, whoever you want, the information came in a way that I could translate it and then say, use it for something that was useful for the client.
Right.
But I've gotten involved in arguments with people about where it came from and how, and it's like, I don't care about any of those details. Not really.
I agree. Absolutely. You know? 100%. I agree.
Yeah. So that's it. Sometimes it's just like, you know, this is your experience and we don't have to agree on how it happened, why it happened, or if it's real or it's not real. It's real to you. It was a real experience. And this is what you got out of it.
Actually, what I got out of all years was my tarot deck.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't thought of that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of understandings. And you know what? I did get a certain amount of skills. I'll put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I learned what not to do. That's good. Yep.
Okay. I just want to throw one thing out. I'm not sure what it means. Marlise in the chat room over on YouTube says, inputs for Capricorns, please. Now, I'm not sure if she wants that for the moon or the sun or anything, or I think maybe she's just asking for some little tidbit about Capricorns. So do you have something that just comes to you right off the top?
Sure.
I mean, Capricorn especially energy. Since we're talking about earth signs, Taurus and Virgos, and Capricorn is the third.
Oh, yeah. Well, Capricorns are dynamic. They're the dynamos of the horoscope of the zodiac. I mean, they're the, you know, the cardinal sign of Earth, ruled by Saturn. And if you look through, well, they're the devil card.
Mm-hmm.
And any card, you know, when you're looking at the old ruler system of the medieval times, the devil was, you know, that's a good card because it's ambition and drive and deciding to do things. So it's about getting things done. It's about power. That's a lot of good things. It's the first day of winter. It's the sun in Capricorn, the four of discs. So it's determination.
Yes, that's what I
love that energy
going through my head. Yeah.
What's that?
That's exactly what I was thinking. Determination, and when you said it.
Yeah,
drive. It's like there, you know. Yeah.
I mean, if Capricorn to me is about, I mean, you've got the Tropic of Capricorn, and to me that's a wonderful energy. I always like, one of my favorite times of the year is the Tropic of Capricorn, the winter solstice.
Mm.
I love that time of year. So Capricorns are powerful. They don't know it. We don't identify necessarily power with Capricorn because we live in the Northern Hemisphere. But I consider it to be one of the most powerful times, and therefore one of the most powerful signs there is.
Mm-hmm.
There's incredible
and ruled by
strength.
Saturn.
Yeah, ruled by Saturn, Kronos.
Yep.
The keeper of time.
Yeah, and I recognize, you know, we're getting close to the end of the show. I mean, we still have a few more minutes, but one thing I'd like to introduce here, you know, in terms of Capricorn and just the idea, you know, it could be that some signs actually are feeling, I'm not going to say left out right now, but it is true with this huge kind of shift in migration of, you know, four planets into air and fire. We've got so much of that in the cosmos right now. And what we don't have is that earthy groundedness. And so the people that have that in their charts, whether it's their suns or their moons or their risings, in some ways, I want to say we're counting on you to keep kind of the energy somewhat focused and grounded. But also, if you're feeling like, hey, what are all these people talking about? How did this happen? That is partially it, because that earth energy is not exactly resistant, but it's feeling very different than all that fire and air that's blowing around right now.
Yeah.
And that fire and air is going to be blowing around for a long time. So hi, Capricorns, you know, dig your heels in, know what, you know, for all the grounded signs and for all of us, know what you're good at and stick to it.
And be able to see the truth from the lies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's my little political thing.
Okay. But yeah, that's it. I mean, when I think of Capricorn, I definitely think of those. Now I'm trying to think what they are, those longhorn sheep or whatever that climb that cliff in Colorado that goes right by the highway. You drive by and they are just hanging on to the edge. Because they just
bighorn sheep.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And man, it's like such a sight to see them just standing on what looks like a sheer vertical drop. And, you know, that's what especially the earth signs need to hang on to. We will talk more about Virgo next week because as the sun and moon move into Virgo. But, you know,
Virgo. Yeah.
Yep. I do too, but Capricorn and Taurus and Earth, you know, that's it. Hang on. Know what you're good at. Hang on to it and don't be moved. You can be inspired. You can be, you know, educated. You can enjoy all the fire and the air, but hang on to what you're good at and just refuse to be moved when you know that that's just not the way you should go. All right, Mo, we've got 1 minute. So what would you like to do? You want to announce anything before we close the show today?
Just tomorrow is my first. You can come see me and chat with me. I'll have my chat window open like you do here. And I'm not apprehensive, but it's glitchy. I'm glitchy. It's not glitchy. The technology is flawless. I'm flawed, but I'm looking forward to it.
Well, so I would disagree with that.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me. I really enjoy this every month. So,
all right. Well, Mo, thank you for coming and interacting on the show today. Thanks to Serena, who is our producer. And of course, thanks to all the listeners. I hope that you'll take something away and, you know, it'll really bring entertainment or joy to your life. Thanks to all those people who joined us in the chat room over on YouTube. I appreciate that too.
Indeed.
And for those of you who want to stick around either on 12radio.com or here on YouTube, I am joining Kelly Whetstone and her show is called Empowerment with Kelly Whetstone. It's coming up next. And once a month, I join her. We call it our monthly meeting of the minds. So if you've got the time, I hope you'll go over there and listen to us or catch it in the archives later. So I'm going to leave you with a quote of the week. This is Malcolm X, and I chose it because he has Mercury sextile Mars, which is that energy that I was telling you is in the cosmos this week, and it's happening twice in perfection, both on Thursday night and again on Sunday. And so that's how I came to him. This is the quote. We need more light about each other. Light creates understanding. Understanding creates love. Love creates patience. Now, by the way, his Mercury's in Taurus, so you hear that groundedness of Taurus. Love creates patience, and patience creates unity. So that's Malcolm X, Mercury in Taurus, sextile Mars in Cancer. This is CA signing out. You can find me for personal sessions over on 12listen.com. Please feel free to request a scheduled call at a time that's good for you. And today is the 12th of the month. So after I'm on with Kelly and I grab some lunch, I will be on 12listen.com most of the afternoon and early evening. And this is the day when we celebrate, 12th of the month. So we have all kinds of sales on time-based sessions and calls and chats, etc. So come find me and my wonderful colleagues over there. You have been listening to Everyday Astrology with my guest, Mo Abdelbaki, on 12Radio and live streaming on YouTube, where we are changing the way we listen to the world.